Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening, and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. We are going to talk about very important legislation at the Ohio State House that has been introduced again this year, and hopefully we'll be able to bring you great news next week. But we're going to talk about a step-by-step process of what is happening with the Pastors Protection Act. That's House Bill 36, legislation that will protect churches, pastors, church property, church organizations. We're talking about House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. In the aftermath of the Obergefell decision, constitutional attorneys across the country urge states to move quickly to enact statute legislation to protect religious liberty in the aftermath of the Supreme Court decision legalizing homosexual marriage. Liberty Counsel with Matt Staver urged many groups and legislators in numerous states to enact legislation, and other attorney groups were doing the same. In fact, even those who are proponents of the Obergefell decision stated that the decision itself left open the question of religious conscience, that they did not address that, that it would have to be addressed in the future. So there is going to be part two and three and four of the Obergefell decision as time goes on. The dissenters of the decision, of course, were saying that this was a terrible assault on religious liberty and for churches in our country. Well, with us to talk about it on the phone is the sponsor of the bill, and that's State Representative Nino Vitelli. Representative, thank you for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, this last week we had hearings in committee, the Community and Family Advancement Committee, chaired by State Representative Tim Ginter, and pastors came in from all across the state. They either wrote letters in support or written testimony or came in person. So it was a packed hearing. But the hearing was started off by an interested party member, and that was the law professor from Ohio State University. Later, it was discovered in his testimony that he was actually encouraged by the group Equality Ohio, that's the homosexual group that's opposing this legislation, to come in and to give testimony. You know, once he got into his testimony, Representative, it sounded more and more like opponent testimony to me than it was interested party. Your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. And, you know, what was interesting about what he said was, well, you shouldn't be determining this issue because this is going to be determined in the courts. There, Obergefell is unsettled. It's unclear. And there will be lawsuits, and those lawsuits will determine how this happens. And I'm sitting there listening to him thinking, so just let our churches get sued. And then they'll, when they're halfway or all the way into bankruptcy, well, then we'll decide how this works. It was a very interesting position to take for a quote-unquote law professor.
Well, what was interesting also is that, first of all, as I was alerting people as to, you know, by way of Facebook and Twitter, how long his testimony was, and they were asking, why was the chair giving so much time to this one individual? And it is a little uncharacteristic. Well, if you have an expert witness, they allowed him to continue. He is a law professor, and he was giving a point-for-point breakdown of Obergefell from his standpoint of what the majority, the five, decided as this new right that they were you know, creating. Quite honestly, it wasn't based on existing law. It was basically pulled out of thin air, and they were creating this new right of homosexual marriage in the continental United States. But I thought it was interesting, as he went on in testimony, he had acknowledged that Obergefell is not finished. They left open the question about religious conscience in the decision. So he did not dispense with that concern. So actually, I thought he was actually bolstering our position of why this legislation is needed. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. In fact, his comments about Obergefell being unsettled match exactly with the American Freedom Law Center, who's also a supporter of this bill, stating the exact same thing. So it was interesting that those two attorneys, who one teaches, I don't know if you know this, but we looked into his background a little bit more, and his specialty at Ohio State Law is what he teaches is homosexual law. That's all the classes that he has. So,
you know, wow. Okay.
Well, I didn't even know we were doing that. I didn't even know we had a line of teaching at Ohio State that was strictly dedicated to homosexual laws. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised by that, considering, you know, all the things that have happened the last two or three years. But, you know, back to your first point is it really interested party or opponent? And, you know, I guess it doesn't matter, but he made the point very clearly of why this law is necessary. There will be lawsuits. Obergefell is unsettled. Somebody's going to get sued. We'll figure it out then. It's like, yeah, I'd rather not wait for Pastor Smith or, you know, so-and-so to have their, you know, these people who donate their hard-earned treasure to these churches to lose that in these types of lawsuits. Let's figure that out ahead of time. So.
We're talking with State Representative Nino Vitelli, the chief sponsor of the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, legislation that's currently being considered before the Ohio legislature. It has had three hearings in the Community and Family Advancement Committee, and we ask you to call your state representative and urge them to support House Bill 36. You can go to our website, ohioca.org, and you'll see the call to action line. You go ahead and click on that, and it will lead you to a directory of all the state representatives, and we urge you to call your representative today and encourage them to support House Bill 36. Now, it's had three hearings, Representative, and it's in committee. Now, it seems as if there is talk that it may get voted out this coming Tuesday and might be on the floor as early as Wednesday, but yet, as we all know, there's still a lot of time on the clock in this game, and a lot of things can happen, including amendments that could sabotage this bill. Explain.
Well, you know, the other side, I guess, is always working. The opponents to this bill are always working to put things in the bill that I would say people of the Judeo-Christian faith that are trying to build the kingdom and the salvation of souls would not agree with. And so we will always have to play defense on that, or maybe a good offense. And the other thing is that, you know, Equality Ohio and the ACLU have quite plainly said church property needs to be available for all. If they're open for business, they're open for business for all, period. That's an exact quote from the Equality Ohio testimony that anyone can read. It's on the State House website. So that right there tells you what their intention is. And they're not going to stop. I know that they're emailing like crazy and trying to get people to call into the State House right now. And we need to do the same. And, you know, government works because they do listen. The representatives do listen when people call. And so we need folks to call out there, and not just pastors. The pastors need to get their, you know, their church communities involved here, too, because I know every pastor who talks and comes and testifies usually speaks for 100, maybe 300, maybe 500 folks.
You know, when we first heard of this legislation last session, and we were pushing for it to get out of the House in December of last year, many of our listeners remember that. It did pass committee, but there wasn't enough time, according to leadership, to get it onto the floor for a vote and then send it over to the Senate for concurrence and on to the governor. So the Speaker did give you assurances that he would take it up early in the year, and so far he has kept his word. This has been on a marathon list of hearings. We've already had three hearings in the month of February. And it looks as if the bill will get voted out of committee on Tuesday. We do urge all of our listeners to get out there and encourage all your family. Folks, look, this is so important. You know, the opponents of our traditional values and our religious beliefs are intent on separating us from our belief and value system and from our churches. They want to make an assault on the church property itself. They want to thrust upon the church the 14th Amendment of public accommodation. This is from the testimony of Equality Ohio. a homosexual advocacy group. This is where we get this idea, speaking from their testimony of public accommodations, which is not new and was not created with the Smith decision. Public accommodations were defined at the federal in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It's what the lunch counter protests were about. If you're open for business, you're open for business to everyone, period. This is Equality Ohio's testimony before the committee. It goes on. Places of worship, the sanctuary, the temple, the synagogue, the mosques, all have memberships and parishes. They are not open for rent. This is different than if any religious organization is running a business. This is still a business that is subject to the public accommodation laws. Well, Representative, there it is, in black and white, in their own testimony before committee. This is their intent, is to challenge this again and again and again legally. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's clearly laid out in the Gospel of Matthew what we are called to do as Christians, which is to go forth and evangelize and baptize. And so our churches are not communities where we have memberships. In fact, they are open to all. I'd say that's exactly what and why we exist, is if you're in the business of the salvation of souls, well, you know, Jesus himself said, I came for the sinners. So, you know, I'm one of those. I appreciate his medical help and health that I need on the spiritual side very much. So it doesn't represent or have a clear understanding of what we are as faith communities and what we are all about. I can't tell you the number of churches that I have passed that have these great little signs out front that say, you know, we're open for business, or, you know, all are welcome, or services at 5, please join us. They don't say only if you're a member, or only if you're paying dues, or only if you sign this sheet of paper. I don't think that's what any of us are about.
Well, that's right. And one of the really groundbreaking moments in the committee hearing this week was that the Catholic Conference representative came in, Jim Tobin, and this is to close out the hearings that day. And he said, Mr. Chairman, I do have testimony. I have written testimony, but I just want to say, and he approached the podium and saying that the Catholic bishops of Ohio are unanimously in support of House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, and urge its passage. That was really a tremendous moment. Tell me what you were thinking when you heard that, Representative.
Well, what is very unusual about that is if you watch the Catholic Church in politics, they advocate for policy, general policies and issues. But rarely, if ever, do you see the Catholic Church get behind any specific bill. And to see every Ohio Catholic bishop say that they are in unanimous support, that's 2.3 million people in Ohio. That represents almost 20% of the state. So that's a very, very big and profound statement for the Catholic Church to make.
And they are on the front lines of these lawsuits. We've talked about on this program at length about the current challenge in New Jersey to the Catholic hospital there, where a woman wanting to be a man went to the Catholic hospital and wanted to get a hysterectomy and a sex change. They said, well, this isn't medical surgery, this is elective surgery, and you know, on our moral beliefs, this is not something we do. Now, there were 40 other hospitals within a 50-mile radius of her house that would have performed this elective surgery that she wanted for a sex change, but she knew going there that she was going to make the issue, so she sued them. That case is being hurt right now in the courts. Then we go to Massachusetts, where the state legislature there enacted a public accommodations law for transgender individuals, of public restrooms, showers, bathhouses of this sort. And the attorney general there stated that it applies to churches, so that churches need to comply with this new order, according to his office, or he would begin to file a $2,500 fine against each infraction, to be followed by other prosecutorial measures from his office. Now let's take it back to Columbus, Ohio. There you have a Catholic school They discovered this woman was a lesbian. She had made it known. She did not disclose that on her original application form as what her sexual orientation was. And again, objections of her, of over religious grounds. And that case is going forward. And so far, the church has actually lost in the early goings of that case. So there's real time harm to the church, and the Catholic Church has been on the front end of this so far, not to mention the adoption agencies in the state of Massachusetts, which they were pushing the issue that you must provide adoption services to homosexual and lesbian women. And they said, we believe that in the nuclear family, we believe the marriage between a man and a woman, that it would be best for environment and for adoption for children to be raised in a home with both gender sexes of a man and a woman, and that they had to shut down their operation. So a whole ministry of adoption in the state of Massachusetts, the Catholic adoption agencies had to close down. So we're seeing time and time again, what this is doing is causing harm to the church. Folks, we're talking about House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, that protects pastors, churches, church organizations, religious societies from these frivolous lawsuits. It gives an added protection. Now, obviously, people can still file lawsuits, but the fact of the matter is we have no statute legislation on the books here in Ohio. This would be a complement to that. It's telling a whole new generation that religious protection, religious liberty is important. It's the first of our amendments. Now, we seem to have come to a time in a generation, representative, where they seem to dismiss the fundamental rights of men, of religious freedom. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree. And, you know, the question that I keep asking these folks on the other side is, so if a church community has a small building that they use for Bible study and alcohol, you know, AA meetings and things like this, is that building going to be forced, should be forced to do things against their religious beliefs? And the answer I get back is yes. So, you know, what I say in return is, so we have private property and we can't even exercise our freedom of religion on our own private property. Then do we have free exercise of religion anymore? And the only answer I can conclude from their perspective is no. I mean, that's not what I would call free exercise of religion.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we spoke to some pastors in committee the other day. In fact, one of them submitted to me basically the insurance provider for his church does have a category now, religious freedom protection coverage. This is from Brotherhood Mutual. And they disclosed to him that they have already settled in an out-of-court settlement, one case. They have five cases still open, three from 2015 and two from 2016. And these are instances where churches have been sued over this very issue. So, folks, this is real-time threat to the church, and it's just beginning to be realized. You know, we had a rural church in Adams County, and I received a phone call a few weeks ago. And Pastor Ken was telling me, he said, look, we had two homosexual men came to the bereavement dinner, but he said one was fully dressed as a woman. He said, we were at a loss as to what restroom he should use. And I said, Pastor, he should use the restroom of the gender he was born with. They're trying to thrust this issue on the church, and for this small rural Methodist church, very conservative community, they were trying to make them uncomfortable. They certainly love everyone and accommodate and share the love of Jesus with everyone. But here they were trying to probe this church and probably trying to do a test as to how they would react. Now, will that result in some type of lawsuit in the future? Only one is left to guess what will happen. How many more instances will there occur that we're saying that the threat is real? This is the argument that was made before the committee. You know, another thing that was said, Representative, and I've talked to some of your colleagues today on the phone, in fact, who were saying, well, you know, is there, you know, there's no real threat here. And I said, well, you know, the hearing room was packed with pastors from all over the state, various denominations. You have the Catholic bishops weighing in. They obviously believe that the threat is real. How can you dismiss that? The representatives seem to not really have an answer for that. Your thoughts?
Well, if you look at when we started this bill last General Assembly and this one, to count so far, I think I'm up to 76 pastors alone, just pastors, who've driven 1, 2, 3 hours to come to Central Ohio, to come to Columbus and testify, sit in a room for hours and wait and testify in this. So I agree. I think that they do see a real threat. Some of the quotes that they gave were, "Do not put us in a position to have to choose between obeying the state and obeying God. It seems reasonable that the church is next. We may experience costly litigation if we were to even win the lawsuit."
Right.
We may be bankrupt. I mean, a lot of the churches I know, Chris, they operate on $150,000 a year budget.
That's right.
That wouldn't even get you down 2 or 3 months of some of these, lawyers that the ACLU brings in. And that's what that organization is about. I mean, it's a cash cow that comes in to basically sue organizations that they don't agree with. And ACLU of Ohio on their website right now states, "We strongly feel these types of facilities should be open to all members of the public." So when, they're using words like "strongly" and you know what the ACLU is all about, I think only common sense says, look, let's build a fence. We're not going to, this bill does not impose anything. It doesn't take any rights. It doesn't even speak to any the LGBTQ community or anything like that. It just says, look, all right, we got this stuff going on. We at least want the religious liberty and the free exercise thereof to do that on our own property. And even that is being challenged. Very, very difficult times.
It really is. Never thought we'd be at this position where we're talking about this. 14 years ago, we were passing DOMA in the state, the Defense of Marriage Act. Ohio became the 38th state to pass a Defense of Marriage Act. And then, of course, the next year we passed the Marriage Amendment, and 62% of Ohioans affirmed that a marriage is between one man and one woman. Well, here we are, and not through any democratic process, certainly not by the public or the democracy, but by the courts, by five individuals, by five justices on the court, in a narrow decision of 5-4, they come up with this new right, and they seem to strike down every constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. Well, things may shift in a few years, and we're seeing some good indications right now. The president, in fact, disposed with the Obama administration's order on public schools for transgender bathrooms. That happened yesterday, and we applaud that. That's a great move. There is a conservative nominee up for the U.S. Supreme Court, but is simply be replacing one that we lost in Antonin Scalia, who passed away last year. Neil Gorsuch is that nominee. He seems to be very conservative. He believes in the Constitution and the interpretation of the Constitution. So that is basically just a replacement for Justice Scalia. So we still would have one or two more seats that would have to be replaced if we're even looking at reversing this action by the court. But there's a lot of harm that can be done in the courts in the meantime. And so that's why we really thank you, Representative, for sponsoring this bill. How many co-sponsors joined you on it?
Well, with me, we have 28 people, including me. So, and I had, 3 to 4 more easy who called and said, "Wow, I just missed the deadline. I would be on that bill." So we're really only 20, 22 votes away from getting to the simple majority of 51. And, I agree with you that we see some things changing. And aren't we glad that the person who said deep-seated religious beliefs need to be changed in our Christian churches, and that woman has been retired. But we still have to deal. Even President Trump, who issued an immigration order, was overturned by 3 folks in black robes. I mean, that's the newly elected president of the United States. So we still have a court system and the bureaucracies in the government that are going to work against us. And you know, we just cannot take our foot off the gas and assume anything. And I think what happens after an election is, you know, we're all busy Christian business people, pastors, whatever. Wow, we had the election. We won some seats. We won that big seat in Washington. Time to get back to our lives because we're all busy. But then the liberals who like to grab a hold of the steering wheel and the levers of government, they never stop. So we have to be watchful. We have to be moving. We have to be active. And that's why I would encourage everyone, please call the State House. Leave them a message. It makes a big deal. Government still works. They like to hear from you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Representative, for being the sponsor of this bill, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, House Bill 36. God bless you, sir. We'll see you next week.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back on the other side with our pastor's roundtable to discuss this at length. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military serving 7,000 miles away gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
All right, and we're back, and we're talking about religious liberty here in the state of Ohio, how it is at risk, and what we're doing about it at the Ohio State House with the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. That's House Bill 36. You just heard from State Representative Nina Vitelli, the sponsor of the bill. It's had three hearings, and this coming week on Tuesday, we're told that it should be voted out of committee, but folks, never leave anything for guests down at the Ohio State House. There's a lot of maneuvering that can take place, and our democratic process can get pretty messy at times, and there are those who would like to trip this bill up, and they'd actually like to put an amendment in it that would basically kill the bill. So we need to pray first and foremost, and we also need to call, and we encourage you to do that by going to the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Just Google that, Ohio Christian Alliance, or go ohioca.org, and right at the top of the page you'll see call to action and about the Pastor's Protection Act. Click on that link and it will take you to another link, which is the directory of all of the Ohio State House members, and you want to call your state representative and a few others as well and urge him to support House Bill 36 that protects religious liberty, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. Well, here to talk about it more in our roundtable discussion with pastors is Pastor Tim Throckmorton and Pastor Al Davis, who is no stranger here to the airwaves of WHKW. And gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Chris. Good to be with you today.
Well, thanks for being with us. Pastor Throckmorton.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it was good to see you, sir, down there this week at the Ohio State House, and it warmed our hearts to see the pastors that had come in, and you had a special thought about the younger ministers that were there and present giving testimony. Give your thoughts on that.
Well, it's just refreshing beyond measure to see young men, one particular pastor who brought his boys with him as well, who are not only catching a hold of the understanding, Chris, of what it is to be culturally engaged as a leader, a faith leader here in Ohio, and not only that, but hearing the testimonies of young pastors who are embracing, who are getting what our founders expressed as they put this nation together under God, and hearing them articulate that, quotes that, we've heard before, but hearing fresh eyes and fresh hearts get a hold of that. And, of course, for me, the vision of pastors throughout the state sharing this, teaching this, embodying this, and encouraging others to get their hearts around it as well, because it's a key part of all that I've heard you talk about already with Representative Vitale, is that not only do we hear it and understand it, but we do something, we engage. And for pastors to use their influence with other pastors, with their congregations, with their own social media profile and so forth, to make this a real push in the next few days. Because I think, you know, Chris, we know right now where we are and what we need to be doing. And between now and next Tuesday, we need to, every single legislator needs to hear from their constituents, and the church can play a key role in making that happen.
Well, that's right. You know, anytime someone's going to make an important decision, they shouldn't be bereft of counsel. And who better to weigh in on this but than God's people, to give the wisdom and counsel of God, to encourage legislators who are representing the people in their district, that they need to hear from them. And so, folks, you need to make those calls. Again, go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, ohioca.org. Click on the call to action button. It will take you to the directory of the Ohio legislature. Find your legislator and pick out a couple of others, maybe even at random. And it could just be any of them, because they're all going to consider this, the whole House members. There's 99 of them. And we encourage you to make a call or two and just simply say, please protect religious liberty by supporting House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. You don't need to get detailed, but the bill actually links are on our website as well if you'd like to read the bill. It's only 2 pages, so it's very... I like when things are simple. I like when they're short and sweet, because that's probably... there's not a... You know, when I see those really long contracts, Pastor, I get a little nervous with the fine print.
Yeah.
But we don't have that here. We've got some really basic fundamental truths that are just basically reemphasizing what the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution in Article 1, Section 7 of the Ohio Constitution already state. And somebody says, well, isn't that redundant then? Why would we need to do that? Pastor Al, I'm going to throw that zinger to you. Why do we need to do that?
Well, Chris, I think we need to do that because of one of the things that I pointed out in my testimony before the committee back on February 8th on House Bill 36, is that even if we are protected by those, and I believe that we are, I believe that the Ohio Pastor Protection Act can act as a safety fence, in a sense, around us, or a security fence, maybe better term. And here's why. You had mentioned about how insurance companies are giving instructions to churches and all now in regarding coverage.
Yes.
For being sued for these things. Now, I don't know about you, but most churches probably can't handle a big lawsuit, a big expensive lawsuit. And there are some groups that would come to the aid of churches, but it's still expensive. It takes time. It takes manpower. And it takes the expense of getting there and doing all these things. And just the threat of a lawsuit can cause some churches, unfortunately, I would like to think that men of God would all take the stand that they should, but some people, the threat of a lawsuit that could potentially cripple or destroy their ministry may quietly capitulate. And enough like that goes on, they build up a critical mass, and they can say, well, look, these churches are not arguing. And the other thing that a lawsuit does, even if you lose, or if you win and defend yourself successfully in court and you don't go bankrupt, you're suffering in the court of public opinion as well. And when you go out from your church, somebody from your church is talking to somebody, invites them to church on Sunday, and they say, oh, that sounds good. Where do you go? And they give the name of your church, And they say, oh, you mean that hate-filled, bigoted church that it's so intolerant of people who just love each other and you have no love in your church. I'm not going there. And it's going to have that kind of a reaction with people. So, and I would submit that the people who are the opponents of House Bill 36, many of them know that.
Mm, that's right. And I think what you also said, too, where, for instance, that Brotherhood Mutual is one of the insurance companies when I was pastoring that we opted right. for. And then I was surprised to see they actually have a category that covers this area. And that was presented to me by one of the brother pastors that came in to testify. And, of course, the unsettling thing was he had gotten information from his agent over the phone, and he took a little handwritten note that there had already been a case, and it was about homosexual marriage at the church or by the pastor, where there was a lawsuit filed that the insurance company settled out of court, and which I hate to hear, because then that what that means, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. is that they figure this is a cash cow. And see, this yep. is going to continue. And then he said there other five other cases are pending. So when they say, well, there's no injury to the church, well, here we have evidence of it, of just one insurance company in the scope of churches that they're covering. They're already dealing with this issue. And this is what we were concerned about. And this is what needs to be addressed. Now, let's take the majority of Ohio's churches probably have somewhere between 80 and 120 members. That's the majority of the churches. And these are long-standing religious institutions in our state. And, of course, it varies. I mean, you know, churches are larger or smaller. But that's about the medium size of a church. Now, they're not going to be able to sustain those kinds of injury as far as financially, whether defending themselves or going to their insurance company and paying the insurance costs for an additional rider. Is that right, Pastor Tim?
Well, that's exactly right. And we're talking here about fallout. You know, things that maybe aren't discussed. This is going to cause a ripple effect financially for these congregations who can't handle it. And of course, in reading the testimonies leading up to yesterday, those who were espousing the thought that this isn't needed because, hey, you know, and I, you know, we heard this questioning back and forth where have you ever been threatened? Have you ever this or that or the other? And a lot of pastors would say, no, but here's the key. This rhetoric or this talking point that says no pastor has ever had a problem here in Ohio. Thankfully, no pastor has, but that is only good until the first one.
Yeah, that's right.
When the first one happens, then it's going to happen, of course, over and over again. But the point is that's a meaningless statement. But I've heard it said. I bring that up only because I have heard it said over and over again that no pastors have ever been sued in Ohio, and that's also been used to move, I think, the position of many legislators who are kind of on the fence on this. And it's been used by the ACLU, it's been used by Equality Ohio, they've been using this to push down, it's not necessary. And this is where what we're talking about here is so relevant. Right now, in the next 48 hours, in the next 72 hours, what the church can do and the difference the church can make is staggering. And for pastors to engage, pastors are leaders. And if their folks know this is important to them, it'll be important to the congregation as well.
Mm.
And so what the potential outreach, the potential reach in the next 72 hours, if pastors understand this, if they hear it, if they respond, if somebody's listening and your pastor's not responding to this, invite him to get on this and just get the information out. Every church has a website. Every church,
yes.
Every member in every church is on Facebook at some level, I'm sure. And this can move forward across the state. And I'm thinking, Chris, in the next few days, thousands and thousands of calls can be made. And legislators, if they're only hearing the voice of the lobbyists on the other side of this issue, they're being swayed in that direction. That's how important our voice is and critical at this moment in time. So this is far-reaching, and Ohio needs to step forward and abide by the Constitution of Ohio as well as the Constitution of the United States.
And when we're talking about the injury to the local church, what does that actually mean? And you say, well, What threat is there really here? A pastor can refuse to marry these people if he doesn't want to. Well, if the church is sued and we talk about going to court, you talk about expense and then or an insurance rider that protects them. But then if there's more and more cases, then that insurance rider climbs in its cost, then the cost of the church just keeping its doors open exceed the income of what that church is able to do. Now, what does that mean? Well, one brother pastor got up and he said, let me tell you what we do in Xenia, Ohio. He said the Attorney General of Ohio just announced the epidemic of heroin addiction in the state of Ohio and how devastating it is to our local communities. He said our church is actually doing something about it. We're working with the local jail. We work with the homeless. We work with the addict. We are providing counseling services. We are providing meals to the homeless. We're providing clothing. We're providing counseling. You know, things that these people could not afford. But the church is out there on the front end of this. If this church has to defend itself, if it has to use its resources, take them away from the daily needs of the people, the community, and the ministry to where they're touching lives, folks, this is going to have a tremendous, terrible outcome. You're going to see churches actually close. You're going to see community centers that are no longer available for public use. How many churches where the community center is the local church, folks, and where the local town doesn't have a facility, but the local church does, and they're generous, and they say, hey, we love everybody. Come on in. You want to play basketball? You want to have a meeting? You want to have an AA meeting? And the next thing you know, here comes two individuals who want to thrust their opinion on the church, and they want to force the issue, and they'll sue them. Then it shuts it all down. You know, the Bible says that one sinner destroyeth much good. And that's what we're trying to forestall here. You know, you're talking to the voices, you're listening to the voices of experience. Pastor Throckmorton has been doing this for a while. Pastor Al Davis has been on the radio for years, and he's been talking about these issues. I've been at the State House for 20 years now. And folks, this is about liberty. This is about our constitutional rights. And, you know, where we used to be on the offensive with the Defense of Marriage Act and the Marriage Amendment in 04, now we've got our backs to the church door of the church, and we're trying to stop what could be a serious threat to the church. This is no laughing matter. This is no guess. This isn't something that's just a sidebar issue. This is going to hit you where you live. And so that's why we urge you to get involved. And, you know, I don't want to underestimate this challenge that we're facing here. And you say, well, we won the election. And hey, do you know that 85% of the court currently is filled by liberal justices? That's right. 85% of the federal bench is filled by Clinton and Obama appointees. You can only guess as to where these cases might go. It might be some time before the shift happens, or if it ever happens on the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, we're at a point right now where we stand, we're at a terrible disadvantage. And if some of these cases go to the Supreme Court, the same 5-4 or 5-3 decision might go against us, folks. And so living in a land of laws and rules that we all uphold as God's people, it might come to a place where, you know, that old adage that we talk about is a principle from Scripture, I'd rather obey God than man. Well, there's going to be trouble. And that's what we're talking about today. We don't want to get to that point. We want, you know, when righteousness abounds in the land, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in rule, the people mourn. And, you know, there's a lot of problem with our nation right now, a lot of soul searching going on. We need an awakening in the worst way, don't we, Pastor Throckmorton?
Yes, we do. And, you know, there's this moment, I think I'm a history buff, and I know you are too. There was this moment in World War II where General Patton, just before the Battle of the Bulge, they crossed the Rhine, and he says to his officers, once in a lifetime, this moment comes, a moment when we have exactly the right mechanism, the right resources, the right people, the right leadership to make a decisive difference. And he said, we could be in Berlin, but in 48 to 72 hours and the war would be over. All I need is a few miserable gallons of gas. I say that to say, you know, here in the United States, in this state, the state of Ohio, we are in a moment where these things are coming together. There's new leadership. There's a fresh breath of optimism. and there is a move to restore religious principle, and I think there's this momentum. And if we, as Pastor Al said, or if we just sit back and go back to our own thing and say, okay, we've elected a new administration and things will be better. If we disengage now, if we don't, and this is one of those key issues, this
yes.
is going to be issue after issue after issue where the church needs to be engaged and be alert and be and speak their voice. And what we're doing here is saying, let's seize this moment to the church. This is important. We were talking, I think I heard you earlier talking about, you know, how the administration's bathroom bill was, the previous administration's bathroom bill was kind of tossed aside
yes.
their approach to the bathroom
yep.
issue. And it basically falls back to states' rights. Well, this is landing in our lap. This is a states' rights issue,
yes.
freedom. It's in our Constitution. Let's do the right thing here. The legislators, Nino Vitale and others, have stepped up and said, here it is. And if the church is in any way lacking in their support and their voice at this moment, where's the fault going to lie if we don't make the difference we can make in the next few days?
Well said. Yeah, you're listening to the Pastor's Roundtable on News and Focus, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. We're talking about the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. It's legislation that will protect pastors, churches, church property, church organizations, church religious societies here in the state of Ohio from frivolous lawsuits. And it is currently being considered at the Ohio State House. It has had three hearings in the Community and Family Advancement Committee, chaired by State Representative Tim Ginter. It will be up for consideration for a vote out of committee this coming Tuesday, but your calls are needed. And how you can do that is go to the website of the Ohio Christian Alliance. That's ohioca.org. And right on the top of the page, you'll see Call to Action. Go ahead and click that, and then you'll be directed to another link of the State House directory. Go there. You'll find all the information of the 99 House members. Find yours and just pick out a few others as well and just leave a simple message. And you could do this day or night, by the way. You could do it after hours. If you've got a Zomnia in the middle of the night, you're in this program, go ahead and do it then and just say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm asking you to support House Bill 36, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act, legislation that protects religious liberty in the state of Ohio. With me in studio is Pastor Al Davis, who has his own program here at the station. And then on the phone with us is Pastor Tim Throckmorton, both who have testified in support of this measure. Pastor Throckmorton, when we think about this legislation, this is really a first step to start to really address the challenges of religious liberty in our day, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And it's, and this is where I think where this the opposition begins to speak up and talk about other faiths. This is about all faiths, individuals of all faiths or none, from all points on the political and ideological spectrum ought to be concerned about this issue. Because everyone is going to be affected. The character of this nation is going to be affected, but everyone else is going to be affected. I like where you were describing this as an issue that doesn't just affect churches, pulpits, pastors themselves, but it also affects church property.
Yes.
And in our church, we have a campus on the south side of Circleville. We also have some property where we do ministry in downtown Circleville. And for that property, we do community events, you know, those kind of things. And so I and any church that has any other property needs to have the religious freedom protection for that property. And Representative Vitale referenced the Methodist campground over in New Jersey that was sued by New Jersey, and they ended up shutting the camp down. It was a public type setting, but it was owned by a church organization, and they were told that they had to let anybody come regardless of the religious preference. So they shut the thing down. And I thought, as I considered that, just because New Jersey said it's the law of the land, and I remember this phrase, if that doesn't resonate with you, I remember one particular person talking about the marriage issue, say, oh, it's the law of the land, this is what we're going to do. Well, it doesn't make it right. And as you talked about the Supreme Court and the appointed justices around this country.
Yes.
When a court begins making a decision, non-elected officials make these decisions, it can go this way or it can go that way. And so it doesn't make it constitutional. We are called. This is really God's property. This is God's calling. Before there was a nation, there was God. And so this predates the Constitution.
Absolutely. That's right. And evil only prevails when good men do nothing. And that's what we're doing. We're doing something about it. Well, thank you, Pastor Throckmorton, Pastor Al, for being in studio today and being on the roundtable. Appreciate your wisdom and counsel, and it's good to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Glad
thank
to be
you.
Here.
Well, you've been listening to News in Focus, and you can hear the completion of this broadcast on our website at ohioca.org and also our archive programs as well. And each week, we come to you at the same time, but we urge you to make those calls to the Ohio State House to protect religious liberty. God bless you. Have a good evening.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.